Gospel, chapter 24. Brother Randy Sutherland will be preaching tonight. It's good to have them with us all day. And Brother Ricky will be traveling to another church today. But I sure am glad that these families could be with us today. And Brother Ricky, you've been a blessing to our church. I wish you would sing me one more verse of invitation in a minute, Brother Ricky. And we're just going to try to mind the Lord a few minutes. And you're glad you're saved today.
Amen.
This is the best thing we've had in our hand today. And you ought to cherish it. And thank God that you've got a copy. Brother Jonathan just got back from a mission trip and handed out Bibles. People starving to death for the Word of God. And we sure are blessed, aren't we? And but within our blessing, we still have trials, don't we? Bible said in Luke 24, verse 1, "Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found a stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord." I'd hate to know that I've been waiting to give the Lord something and never did get to give it to Him. I would hate to know. You can be seated. I'll be a while. I'd hate to know that I'd been planning to do something for Him and never did get to do it. I say that again. I'd hate to know I was preparing to do something and never did get to do it. I'd hate to know, Mom and Daddy, as I was preparing to do something for my children, but yet I never did do it. I'd hate to know, as people in this church, that I had intentions, Brother Lee, to do something, but I never did get to do it. Life's fragile. Life's short. This don't stop for nobody. I was thinking, we've had a couple of deaths lately in the church, and a man that came here some, Brother Stanley, passed on to heaven this week. He sat on the back there. I got to go by and see him in the hospital and have prayer with him the other day. You know, Brother Lee, I had great intentions, but I sure am glad I put some legs on my intentions. I got to thinking, if God would have called him out, boy, I would have regretted not doing what I could have done while I could have done it. Would somebody help me preach in here this morning? We find here a group of God's young'uns that they had all their best intentions to bring something to the Lord. But yet, time didn't stop for them. Can I remind you today, you need to do always today instead of proposing to do it tomorrow. It never hurts you to be a blessing to somebody today. Matter of fact, I never had seen that in my study time. Maybe that's just for me this morning, but it did jump off the page of my Bible. Then he said this, "Came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they was afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead?" I know a lot of churches is there today. He's not here, but He's risen. Thank God He ain't there, but I'm glad He's in here today. And if He don't live in you, you're missing one of the grandest things in this life that you'll ever experience. The day that the Lord Jesus came to live in my heart. Can I tell you, He died for you that He could come and live in your life. May I say He gave His life on the cross and got out of there so He could come and live there. And so, the Bible says, verse 9, they returned from the sepulchre. Ain't that just like the devil? Had no voice problem to start. Ain't that just like the devil?
That encourages the far out of me this morning. You know, every time you've ever found out that there's always been an opening of heaven, there's always been an opposition of hell. I'm glad the devil don't like me today. If I could just whisper a word out of this book to you, it'll help your life this morning. It don't really matter how loud I get or how long if we can just get a word from this book this morning. Don't matter if a blue jay comes and drops it in or a preacher drops. If we can just get a word out of this book, it sure will help us in our life. By God, I'm encouraged the devil's fighting me. You know, I'm looking at that wall and I'm so discouraged. I hate things to look bad. I mean, I'd love to take this 12 right here and kick that thing. I'd love to take this ugly pony nose I got and wiggle it and fix everything. Any of y'all live in this body? Any of y'all, everything's bother you and the devil fight you? Think God's house ought to be the prettiest place in town. That's bothering me. Bible said that they returned in verse 8 and said, verse 7, they said the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified. The third day rise again. They remembered His words. They returned from the sepulchre and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, other women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. They believed them not. Here's the apostles, hand-picked men, had the word of life lived with them, had seen on the sea where He said, "Peace, be still." Now their word seemed as a idle tale. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find things quite unbelievable. He said, "Then arose Peter, ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed." Look at this. I know you're super spiritual, but he's wondering in himself, what in the world is going on? Matter of fact, I have never found a preacher pastoring in a church, Brother Mike, that where God was a moving, Brother Randy, he never knows what God is a doing. See, your problem is you think you got Him figured out. But He'll let something happen in your life to be sure to show you that you're not in control. We love to have things in control. And we love to have our ducks in a row. We went on vacation and come back. It took me 3 days just to get acclimated back to my stuff. I like my stuff. I like where my shoes are, where my socks are. For my Bible, Brother Ricky, I don't know what I'd do without this Bible I preach out of. All that. I'm just, you know, you gotta have your stuff. Sometimes God allows things to happen that'll make you say, "What in the world is going on?" Now, this is not your Sunday morning Baptist. These are the apostles, neighbor. Matter of fact, some of them done called dead to life. But that's over today, by the way. I hate to break it in on the Benny Hinn crowd. That's over today. Don't get looking at the floor on me. If Benny Hinn could heal, why don't he go to Eggleston Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, and empty out and help all them little old young'uns this morning? God still heals. Man has not the gift of healing. The apostles had special gifts bestowed from heaven above. The days of the apostles are gone. Now we have a completed copy of the Word of God. I don't need a man to do miracles. I don't need a miracle healing room.
He wondered in himself at which was come to pass. He'd heard the Word.
And behold, verse 13, where I'm going to preach out of this morning. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, or some 7 to 8 miles now. They talked together of all these things which had happened. Boy, I'm glad if some people walk on the road and talk with you. Somebody say amen. Matter of fact, sometimes I just need somebody to talk to. That won't run and talk about me like a convict. Sometimes it does good just to share your thought. You ever heard anybody say, now, preacher, I'm not supposed to tell this. You know, I told you my biggest issue about me, and I'm confiding in you. And then we go down and we publish it down there at the coffee shop in the Bowden Advocate. Thank God for people just walk down the road with you that you can share your heart with. Matter of fact, don't be judging this crowd too quick. Don't be judging this crowd. I done found out. I better leave the judge and the jury to him. Now watch what they said. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was Jerusalem about 3,000 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things that had happened. And it came to pass where they communed together and reasoned. Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. I will preach on this simple subject this morning, on the road home. Now, I want to say this first of all. There's a descriptive note. In verse 13, we see there was a departure. How would you like it if all of a sudden your master was gone? I'm talking about a descriptive note. They couldn't find him. As Brother Ricky sung this morning, where's Jesus? I can tell you where he is most of the time, right where we left him at. Well, can you imagine they had seen everything and what a relationship that had, but they went and he wasn't there anymore. You know, I find in this passage a descriptive note. We see their departure, and then we see their distance. I don't know about y'all, but if we had to walk from here to Carrollton, we would be some kind of moaning, wouldn't we? I mean, they're walking back home. And can you imagine as they're walking together on this road back home. They're some 7 or 8 miles from where their stuff is. They hadn't got a car. They hadn't got, far as I know, a horse and a buggy. They're just walking. And boy, can't we mully grub about life's fineness?
I got to go to church today.
Get in my nice car and I got to go to church. But boy, this descriptive note, their departure, they couldn't find their distance there as well. And then notice their darkness. It was getting late. The Bible said in the same day, upon the first day of the week, these things had happened. They had started walking home. And can I tell you today, it sure is getting late in the day that we live. Jesus is coming. Young people, Jesus is coming. We've heard it all of our lives, and we've heard it so much we've got gospel hardened, but Jesus is coming! A descriptive note. Number two, there's disturbing news. In verse 14, they talked together of all these things which had happened. You just stay on the news a while. All these things that had happened. I mean, this is unbelievable what's going on. This disturbing news. I want to say that it's perilous times. It's perilous times in the day that me and you live. Boy, perilous time. The Bible said this, know also that in the last days, perilous times or stressful, dangerous fears shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection. It's not natural that a man love a man intimately. That's not natural. That a woman love a woman intimately. Some of you, mom and dad, as you say, well, my little boys, they're looking at them girls. Thank God. Well, thank God. Will somebody help me preach a while? But thank God. They're supposed to be goo-goo-eyed over little girls. Just make them stay in their place. Some of you boys need to get some guts. Quit letting these little punks take your girls to bad places with their weird hairdos. And they got ain't scared on their windshield. And you know what, neighbor? They ain't scared of you neither. They just ain't pulled up to a Buchanan house yet. Somebody say amen right there. They, some boys here in this church make believers out of you. Perilous times. Then look what the Bible says. It said, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Boy, we in perilous times. And you don't have to go to the beach to see we're in perilous times. Stressful time. Our country's rocky. Our president, bless his heart, he's trying to promise a fix, a throw money and everything. But we ain't got no money to throw at nothing. That's our problem now. We done throwed money. It ain't no more to throw. Some of y'all waiting on your Obama check. You need to go to work. Amen, Brother Mac. I wish I wasn't here Sunday night, but I heard you sure did preach good. You ought to take your hide and go to work. I can't find no job. Then you ain't hunting one. They used to line up all the time and say, now, how much you going to pay to unload this Pepsi truck? They'd look at me like, well, you crazy. Well, it's better than starving. Matter of fact, most of the boys in this generation, they're not going to be able to work no how. They're too busy holding their britches up. I seen one down here last night coming down here to church, and if my mama could have seen that child, she would have had a stroke. I mean, it's little hiney shining. But ain't nobody got no mama no more. Perilous time. I'd love to see my granddad in Tennessee, that boy walking up the sidewalk. His hat sideways and his pants on the ground. Boy, we in perilous time. But you know what? Sin ain't sin no more. Man, we used to blush in America. We used to blush in our church. We used to blush at home. Things come on TV, my little old grandbaby see. It ought to make this preacher blush. Perilous time. Boy, we just get used to stuff, don't we? Get calloused. Disturbing news. There's perilous times. And then there was painful truths. But then there was passionate talk. They talked together of all these things that had happened. You know something? We do have something today that we ought to talk about. And we ought to be passionate about what's happening in our society and in our culture. But you know, it's really not, the world ought to not surprise us. That's always been going on in the world. It ought to shock us what's going on in our homes. I'm glad my wife said, I don't love you no more. See you 31 years. Well, what kind of hogwash is that? I don't love you no more. If you'd ride back with me 7 hours from vacation, irritable, all messed up, done been the doctor's office, you wouldn't much love me either. But she stayed in the car. And when we got out, when I come to church, she unloaded the car. And you know what? She was there when I got home. Somebody say amen this morning. Little feely-meely society. Clappy happy. Praise Him, praise Him. Everybody, let's praise Him. Why don't you get a life and get in this book and get your life ironed out? Perilous time. You know, now if a preacher preaches, he's a bad guy. We didn't write this book. We just read it. But it sure does offend people. Our brother Ken's in that King James Bible. He ain't going to get off that Bible. He offends me. Well, they offend you at Walmart. Why don't you quit going down there? Where are you at on Wednesday night? Would somebody tell me where you are on Wednesday? Brother Ken's too hard. No, we're in perilous time. We do what we want to do. And don't you go out of here pouting at your preacher this morning. We do what we want to do. Brother David, I'm going to come set by you. You and Brother Mike's the only one smiling this morning. We do what we want to do. Well, we ain't got no money. Well, you can go out to eat. We not in such a depression as everybody thinks. I mean, we got polecats, possums, armadillos. We got everything on the side of the road dead. We ain't in such a depression as everybody says we are. Perilous time, difficult time. I know it's difficult for some folks. It's difficult at our house at times. But let me tell you what, God's still worthy. He's God this morning. Now, on the road home, there's a descriptive note. There's disturbing news. And let me tell you something. Just because you're a Christian don't mean that you're not going to have some disturbing news. People serve God, and this is what they say. Well, it's got too hard. I thought He'd do this. I thought He'd do that. Well, let me tell you something, friend. God don't ask our permission about nothing. And there's disturbing news. And you know what? You'll watch this. Not only a descriptive note and disturbing news, there's a divine nearness. Verse 15, isn't this just like Jesus when we walking along on the road home and we're talking about things that's going on, and all of a sudden He just drew near. I don't know why He had come by me. But the Bible said this. He said, and Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Isn't it amazing how He loves us? Some of y'all fussing and fighting going to church this morning. Jesus drew near in here at Sunday school. Some of you talking about the preacher down there. Always talking about the preacher. Preacher don't suit you. I wish you'd go get you a preacher that suited you. And now they got on the assistant preacher. Lord, if we had a third, and they'd get on him too, Brother Mike. Don't worry about it. Somebody just shout amen this morning. Lord, if you didn't like both these preachers, go find you someplace where you like one. Go on down here to Methodist Church. She'll preach to you. Y'all look like you need some preaching back here. I'll bring some this morning. She won't offend you. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that Jesus drew near. Isn't that something where He loves us so that He'll draw near? Now I'm getting to something I've seen. Just hang on. I'm going to run a few rabbits before I get there, and then we're going home. How many times have I said, Lord, You won't have nothing to do with me again? And Lord, You shouldn't have, but You sure do love me in spite of me. Wonder how many times you've seen somebody come in and maybe you see them go on the altar and then this is what you say. They deserve that. What you deserve. They deserve what they get. Boy, I'm glad I don't deserve what I'm getting. I mean, I'll just get over here on this wall, get me a little quiet spot and stay to myself before I say they deserve what they get. Look at what he does. There's a divine nearness. Jesus himself drew near and went with them, and their eyes were holden that they should not know him. He is with them and they didn't even know it. Can I tell you, the devil will always remind you that you're by yourself. But he's lying because you're never by yourself. You know what? That lets me know when I'm talking on this road, I better be careful about what I'm talking because Jesus is listening. Jesus drew near and he, let me tell you, he's so close he hears everything. Some of you young people, he knows what you're saying on the phone. And you know what? Jesus can even read texts. Oh, Jesus won't know about this. Oh, yes, he does too. This is amazing to me, this divine nearness. But look what he says now. Their eyes were holding, and he said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk in or say? He's saying, you know what, brother, why are y'all walking around so sad? You've not lost your best friend. Things are tough. Things are hard. Church, listen, we better quit waiting for an economy to get right before we say we're going to shout when things get right. You won't ever be shouting. And you say, well, I'm going to serve God when all my bills is paid and I don't have no problem. Well, then we ain't going to have nobody left to serve God. Matter of fact, anybody can serve Him on the mountain like Brother Ricky writing these songs in the holler. That helps. That lets me know these other people walking in these hollers. Somebody said, if you raise your children in the house, you don't have no children problem. That ain't right at all. I know some of the best families in this ministry got children problems. Me and Miss Renee got children problems. We got children, ain't we? Then you got children problems. Some of y'all just scared to say it. Divine nearness. Watch this. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, only one they ever mentioned, they answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He said to him, what things? They said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, prophet, mighty deed, word, and God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which was early at the sepulcher. They found not his body. They came saying they'd seen a vision of angels, said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening. And the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. Came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Divine nearness. Distinct nature. They were distracted. You know, the devil would love to distract you. We get our minds on everything going on and we forget about even what we're doing. You ever get distracted? When you get distracted, you leave things undone. You ever been fixing to go do something, you got distracted, and then going down the road, you said, I got distracted.
distracted, then discouraged.
Man, when somebody, thank God I've got people that are walking with me, say, preacher, it'll be all right. It's going to get better, preacher. It's going to get better. Boy, Brother Mike brings a good balance to me a lot of times. I say, Brother Mike, what you think about this? He says, preacher, it'll work out. I say, man, I wish I could go to sleep in that body one night. I tell my wife, I'm over there tossing and a turning and moaning and going, I say, She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to sleep. She said, well, I'm doing it. Would you go to sleep? I said, but what about this? She said, you can't change it. Quit worrying about it. You can't change it. Distracted and discouraged. Man, we need to quit looking around at what's going on here and look and see who we've got on our side. The devil, he ain't going to show you what's right about you. He'll try to discourage you and defeat you. Don't you go back down there to that church. Don't nobody love you. Well, there's two or three that loves you. I can tell you right now, everybody don't love you. They all don't love me. I wish they did. But there's some that loves you. Turn around and tell folks by this morning. Say, I do. Turn around and tell I do. I care. Turn around and tell them I care. I do care. And you know, this just kills me. Well, it'll be all right. Well, okay, when's it going to be all right? I understand that. It's like my neck surgery. Don't worry, preacher. It'll be all right. Hour surgery. Come home at night. Cut your head off. I love y'all. I just love you to death. Preacher, don't worry. It'd be all right. But I didn't see nobody taking one for the preacher. I didn't see nobody at the spinal clinic saying, take the disc out of my neck and leave my preacher alone. And then this tickles me, brother. I come walking in sideways and say, what's wrong with preacher? What's wrong with preacher? You know, a lot of time we might not ought to be thinking about so much as what's wrong with people, but what could we do for them? Because we all got something wrong with us, don't we? You know, did you know that turns more people off at church than anything? Religious people that have no problems and look down on anybody else that's got some. Now I want to show you something that I've seen here. I've never seen this, but I sure do like what happened. Watch this. When Jesus left, we all know the story. You've heard it 100 times. They got heartburn. They said, man, didn't our heart burn within us while He shared with us His words? You know, why we get so cold, we leave His Word alone. But can I tell you, when Jesus put this fire back in them, what this crowd just done? Read it. Don't make me pull out another verse. Read what they done. Soon as Jesus put that fire back in them, they turned back around and said, we just go do that again. They went back to Jerusalem. Done walked 7 miles, and now they're going to walk 7 miles back. I wish to the Lord of glory that kind of fire get put in us, that we're willing to do it again. I'm willing to forgive again. Are you? Some of you, you throw the towel in and said, I'm done, I'm not going to forgive them. Then you're in prison, neighbor. I'm willing to do it again. How many times have I went home in my little pity party and I have a fining, buddy? I mean hats, balloons, whistles. I got ribbons on the mailbox. Look at me. I'm having a pity party. But honey, when the Word of God comes by, He puts the Holy Ghost in my heart. I say, glory to God. I'm fixing to go preach one more time. I believe I'll just go do that again. Well, preacher, they ain't amening you. It don't matter. They didn't amen Jesus, did they, Brother David? Miss Sherry, they didn't amen Jesus. I believe you can play the piano another night and people looking at you like they're eating sawbriars and gravel gravy. One of the best pianists in this country. She hit that thing, y'all. Look at her like, man, Brother Ken ain't going to let us out to 12:30 this morning. I believe I can do it again. But you look, church, it's going to take His Word. Some of y'all got hurt at your other church. You ain't got to be hurt here. Some of y'all had a preacher misused you and abused you and acted crazy. But that don't mean that this one's going to. I might. Let me tell you, I might. Because I'm human as anybody. Don't put your faith in me. My wife, bless her heart. Sometimes I got pet peeves. You know, I'm glad I've decided that I can go home with her and eat dinner again. Honey, you offended me making up your hair this morning in the mirror. You didn't give me room at the sink. I needed a lot of time for this. Hey, church, you remember before that wall, before that addition was built, you was excited, you was loving God, and you loved preaching, and you loved church. I wish the fire of God get put in you this morning, let you go do that one more time. When you'd sit old sinner boy out there at the gas pump, and his hair down his back, and no, he might not look good in your church, but he sure would look good with a haircut. And Jesus has got to catch him before he can clean him. Brother Ricky, you come. Boy, after Jesus come by, they said, didn't our heart burn within us? Can you remember? You know, I think Brother David or Brother Mike, I said, on my vacation, when I come back, the greatest thing I had when I got back, Miss Flo, was to get a hold of my altar and pray. I wonder if God put that in somebody and let you go and get to praying again. I mean, they done walked 7 miles and they turned around. You know what they done? They got back down there and you look what the Bible says. They said, hey, boys, we seen him. He come talk to us, honey. He come by and he told me something. And God, I'll come back tell y'all he's a living. I come over here to tell you this morning he ain't over there. He's in here. Oh, he loves you. He loves me. Sometimes I get so defeated. God, I don't want to bore you with me, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes I get so defeated. The devil says, preacher, hush. They don't want to hear you no more. Hush. They've heard everything you got to say. Would you hush? Would you just go find your church, preacher? Go in evangelism. They don't need you. Hush, preacher. You know what? I think I'm going to come right here tonight and sit down one more time. And I don't care who preaches. I don't care who says. I'm just going to get in my little spot tonight. I just think there's somebody here this morning that needs to say, dear God, if you'll help me, I'm going to do that one more time. 7 miles. In 7:14.
got all the way down there, and they said, you know what? I ain't out of gas yet. Brother Dave, me and you getting a little age on us. Let me tell you, we got some gas left in the tank. Battery's charged. Won't you gather around this altar this morning and say, God, put that fire in me. Let me go do it again. God, let me forgive them again. God, let me preach again. God, let me pray again. Let me worship. God, let me serve you again. Wow.